Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, visiting with the state representative Dan Swanson and Jennifer Russell with us today as well. This is kind of an encore presentation. Get the band back together. Good to have you along. I'm going to talk a little bit, much of our conversation about Lyme disease. We know the great attention that the Lauren Russell bill has received. I mean, it's important with the aggressive antibiotics that now can be prescribed by physicians in Illinois. But I think the other important thing is man, the awareness that has resulted from this legislation. So getting bang for one's buck with legislation. You got this, didn't you, with that?
Absolutely. It certainly has brought a lot of visibility to Lyme disease and the struggles Lyme sufferers go through. We've had Arkansas, Texas, several states reach out to us and ask for, how'd you do it? We'd like you to import your package down here. And, of course, right now we're on a mission to get insurance, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, but it certainly has brought awareness to Lyme sufferers, and Lauren and Jennifer have been great ambassadors.
Well, and lean in a little bit here, Jennifer. How's Lauren doing health-wise?
She's doing pretty good. She's still doing full days of school. She's started having some tremors and stuff that we're keeping an eye on. But overall, she's doing really well.
So she's getting the aggressive antibiotic prescription?
She's done with it
okay.
at this point.
And she what grade is she in now?
She's in seventh at seventh the junior
grade.
High.
All right, down at Mercer County Junior High. I think when you were on the last time, I can't remember, was it last spring? I don't even remember when it was. It was after the spring legislative session. How has she, like, kind of dealt with it now when you see one's name attached to legislation? And, you know, Lyme disease is kind of synonymous, at least in this area, in Illinois with Lauren Russell. Does she get that, I guess? I mean, does she understand that?
I think she does. She's a pretty humble about it, I think, but she is now addicted to politics, and she loves going down to the House floor. And
she's probably going to need a shot for that, too.
Yeah. So, but, you know, she goes down there, and I really appreciate the representatives when she comes. They really make her feel welcome, and she loves it.
Well, and since this has happened here, I can speak personally on two conversations in two instances where this has come up with me. And I think in a matter of 6 months or whatever is pretty amazing. And we had a listener was concerned, heard the first interview and said, hey, this is something my daughter, I think, is being impacted by. They get the test and voila, has Lyme disease. And I was talking to a coach at a game this winter. It would have been early in the winter, and his daughter had been battling some different issues. And I said, you know, I'm going to bring something up, and this may not be the diagnosis, but have you thought about Lyme disease? And the only reason I brought that up, I told him the story. I said we had a parent on. They were trying to figure out what was wrong with their child. They went through all these tests, all these things, and finally they do a Lyme disease test, and boom, she has Lyme disease. And that's something maybe that you need to investigate.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's a pretty impressive. That's what I talk about, awareness. I mean, the law is important with the treatment, but the awareness of it is people need to start thinking a little bit more, especially about, you know, these rural areas where you can come into contact with these tick-borne illnesses.
And that was part of our legislation last year, was to bring awareness and set up a task force. There's so many stovepipes in Springfield between the Illinois Department of Public Health sharing information with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, which is receiving information from the University of Illinois of ticks and the diseases that can be transmitted. So it's our intent to get the Illinois Department of Public Health to communicate with Department of Natural Resources. So when we go to our state parks, we see signs that say, hey, beware of ticks in this area, or beware of ticks, and this is what to look for if you suspect you've been bitten by a tick.
All right, so let's segue. So one thing's been accomplished, but there are more things to be accomplished, and now the insurance comes into play. So you guys both want to speak to that then.
So what we have found with the problem with the state insurance is that people that once they've been diagnosed with Lyme disease, the insurance will pay for the first 30 days of antibiotics, and after that they won't pay anything. So if you have continued symptoms or continued problems where you need that more aggressive treatment, if you have been undiagnosed for any length of time, insurances were not helping people. And so this bill will mandate that insurances, if the doctor diagnoses you with Lyme, they cover the treatment for the duration that the doctor feels is necessary.
So that's interesting then, how this works. So you get the legislation passed to say we can prescribe the aggressive treatment, the extended treatment. Oh, but it's not covered. The extended treatment is not covered by insurance. Man, it's a weird, crazy game we play.
And Jennifer and I struggled with that quite a bit last year. We thought about running both pieces of the legislation together, but felt we need to get the treatment across the goal line and get that taken care of first, and then follow up this year with the insurance. And it's been very well received on the House floor. We had a vote this past week, and we were successful. And everyone voted with us, and now it's moved over to the Senate. And Senator Neil Anderson is going to carry the legislation for us, and he's already getting members signed on to be a part of his sponsor team.
Yeah, and of course he represents Lower Rock Island County. So, I mean, you feel pretty good about this getting signed into law.
Well, until that vote is taken and the governor puts the ink to the paper. But we've had discussions with Lieutenant Governor Stratton about the way ahead. We met with her back in December, I believe, up in Chicago. We went to talk with Lieutenant Governor Stratton, and she was on board with us last year when we passed the legislation. And just to kind of lay the groundwork, the way ahead of where we were going with our legislation, and as far as the insurance, and we had worked with the University of Illinois, and we'd talked with Senator Duckworth's staff to try and bring some more funding to the University of Illinois. So,
and they do. I think a while back I interviewed somebody from the U of I. They do some monitoring on the tick-borne illnesses, don't they?
So they what they're doing. I'm working right now with the Illinois Natural History Survey, and
that's the basically pest. This is my ag reporting. That's like the state agricultural pest coordinator,
yeah,
right?
See, yeah.
And I've always wondered on what. Call it what it is. You're confusing me, but hey, that's state government anyway.
So I'm working with Dr. Holly Tootin and Dr. Chris Stone, and I've been sending ticks in. My brother got a couple deer last fall, and so I pulled all the ticks off the deer and sent them in, and they're doing pathogen testing. So they're really, really rallying around what Representative Swanson and I are trying to do and prove that the ticks here and prove that the disease and the pathogens are here. And we are super excited once they can finally release that information. And so we're also collecting ticks. You know, we're, if anybody would want to help out with the research, obviously at your own risk. But I do have instructions on my Facebook page to send in those ticks.
It's interesting. Do you, Jennifer, are you a deer hunter or not, or a family member deer hunter?
My whole family, yes.
Do you deer hunt? You don't?
I've gotten with my car.
Oh, yeah.
A couple times.
Most of us.
Yeah.
So you bring up an interesting point. You talked about Representative Swanson about sharing kind of information on awareness of whatever the issue. And you mentioned IDPH, Illinois Department of Public Health, in Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Do you think so you talk about pulling ticks off a deer. Now, I think the archery season may be a little more in play because I think it's October 1 hunting date, and you get into the latter portion of November, mid to latter portion for first firearm weekend, then early December where you have a hard freeze. But how much of an issue is that, you think, with the awareness or getting in contact with tick-borne illnesses for the deer hunting population?
It's a huge problem. They really, really have to be careful. And the other thing that we've found out was, so you get your deer and then you bring it home, you bring it to a shed, you bring it to a garage. Those ticks will fall off, and they're going to go find for their next host. Mm. Well, now they're all in your garage. So what I've been having my brother do is we have one sheet that he keeps, you know, folded up, and we spray it with permethrin and treat it and put it underneath the deer. So then if anything does fall off in his garage, it'll die and not crawl around and try to find a pet or a child to latch onto.
Yeah, and not to cut you off here, Representative Swanson, but, I mean, is that something where, you know, that's something I guess I don't hear a lot from IDNR. I mean, and that's the awareness part of education of, hey, you're hunting, but you better watch out for some of these tick-borne illnesses, too.
Right. Last fall, Jen posted on her Facebook page about, hey, be aware when you bring the deer in, the ticks are going to fall off. And I think you had, what, 27,000 shares of just that one?
Quite a bit.
Wow. Yeah, of people, gosh, never thought of that. And now as our animals are more outside and the grass is growing tall, the ticks are going to be there. And, you know, there is no real winter season for ticks. They're a year-round bugger.
Right, because I was funny. I was doing an interview with the Natural History Survey, which is the state ag pest coordinator this week for some ag programming I was doing. And the question was brought up, well, this hard freeze is going to kill all the insects. And she's like, no, it's not.
No.
Wishful thinking. That's the other false sense of security get in. So so one step, you get the aggressive treatment legislation. Second step, and it's wheeling its way through the legislation, state legislature now, is the insurance aspect. Is there something else, too, down the road that this is a continuer? This is really this is what you really want right now.
Well, we talk about that. And, you know, the next thing is to monitor to ensure that things are being followed as our intent within the legislation. You know, we set up a task force within the Illinois Department of Public Health. Is that task force up and running yet? And who do we have selected for that? Is the information being shared? Is all those things that we've enacted being followed? You know, are the insurance companies going to play fair and provide coverage for these people? This is primarily the private pay insurance. It's not the Aristas, the Caterpillar, the John Deere type insurance, or Local 150. This is those farmers or independent businessmen or independent people who buy their own insurance.
Interesting.
And you know, the mandate is we have to have insurance, but the mandate isn't that they have to cover ticks.
Yeah,
but
man,
we're about to change that.
Yep, and again, wheeling its way through the state senate. You know, I was thinking about, you know, the backstory, and I know, Jennifer, the first time you were on, how did it come to the point where you said we need legislation for this? Like going through the process.
Good question.
Because I don't think I asked that the first time you were on. I mean, how did it actually get to that point? I mean, you're at your wits end trying to, one, you just mm-hmm. want an answer for your daughter.
Correct.
Right? I mean, that's what you want. But then how did it get to, let's get legislation on this?
Well, it pretty much came about, Lauren and I were, you know, sitting around talking and about what she had been through. And Lauren and I have always said we try to make our mess our message. And so we just kind of, what can we do to make a difference to help people not go through this? Because you're right, when your kid is sick, there's so much information out there, some of it false, some of it true. It's hard to weed through what you're going through. And so we just decided that the biggest problem was trying to find doctors to treat it. And so that came about my knock on the door to Representative Swanson saying, hey, I'm just letting you know that this is a problem. And, you know, we told Lauren's story, and he had such a soft heart and realized, yeah, this is a problem. People can't find a doctor to help them. This is a problem. So that's kind of how it came about.
And that's, you know, not to, you know, I guess talk about, you know, Jimmy Stewart with Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. what do they call that thing where you get up and what was the scene of the movie? What do they call that again? Where he holds, he has to stand up and can't fall down or fall asleep or whatever. What's that called?
Filibuster.
Yeah, you didn't have to filibuster.
No, this was, you know, that's where
And
Lauren,
if you haven't seen Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, the original, please see it, everyone.
You know, it's like Jennifer said, when Lauren tells her story, it's so compelling and so real and so, my gosh, I didn't know that was going on. That, yeah, this is something we need to fix.
All right. So we talked about that. Do you have anything else you want to mention on Lyme disease? I want to just ask Representative Swanson a couple other questions. Go ahead.
The only other thing would be...
Well, you know, Jennifer has started a large support group and is spending a lot of time in Springfield. And on May 4th, she has a golf outing out here at the Hawthorne.
And what is the organization called? There's a Facebook page for it, too.
Spotlight Online, QCA News.
That's right,
QCA
yeah. I see a lot of things shared on there.
Yep.
So, again, what is the site so people know the Facebook site?
Facebook site is Spotlight Online, QCA News.
And a fundraiser?
Yeah, we're having a fundraiser May 4th. We're having a golf outing, try to, you know, raise funds. Those funds keep me going through the year and help educate, hold events to educate physicians, help our I have three support groups around the this county and Rock Island County, and just keeps me going and educating and bringing awareness. And yeah, so it starts at 9 a.m.
When she comes to Springfield, she comes to Springfield with large amounts of handouts and printed copies
yeah,
to give to
that's
legislators.
Good. So where's the golf event at?
Hawthorne.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they can get on that Facebook page.
Absolutely. Yep. The forms are on there.
All right. Well, you're doing a great job with this.
Thank you, Jim.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you. I mean, I tell you that when we had you on the last time, man, I was just. I mean, the amount of attention that received about people really saying, yeah. "Man, this is." I mean, it's the awareness
yeah.
part of it. The legislation
yeah.
is the primary focus. I get yep. it. Man, the awareness to
even
me
mushroom
is,
hunting coming up.
Yeah.
Everybody has to be careful.
That's right.
Permethrin. Spray it on your clothes, hang them on a clothesline, let them dry, put them on, wash them. Many of my Army uniforms were soaked in permethrin.
All right. Just a couple of things, Representative Swanson, before we let you. Another issue for rural areas is finding teachers. And I know your substitute teacher legislation, basically streamlining the process. If you go to one regional office of education to get certified for a substitute teacher, you want that to apply to across the state. That seems pretty common sense to me, but it's not in play right now.
No, I was able to get it through the House yesterday. It passed with a strong majority through the House chambers. There were still some people who don't quite understand why it's needed, but when out here in rural Illinois, when you, in my case, I'm a registered substitute teacher, and in my ROE district, which is Henry County, Stark County, and Princeton County, Bureau County, but I can't drive across an ROE line to go substitute teach at Rova, which is 12 miles away from my house, without registering in that ROE and paying for fingerprint cards and other things. So,
and we wonder why there's a shortage of substitute teachers. Wow.
And it's a state license. You know, it'd be like your driver's license, only being able to drive in certain counties.
And each, and I guess to back up, each of those ROEs, they do the background checks, basically the same background checks, right?
Through the Illinois State Police.
Yeah, so... But so they're just making you do it multiple times if you want to. Well, you use the Rova example with Knox County. Well, if you want to come over, you know, 6 miles additional and teach in the Mercer County School District,
right.
You have to go to the
right.
Mercer or Warren Henderson ROE.
Right, I'd have to go to Galesburg. So this is just this was brought to my attention. I was at an ROE up at in Lee County, and 20 superintendents and principals said, "What about substitute teaching? What about it?" And they told me this story, and I said, "Wow, that's." We got to fix that. You know, you need substitute teachers. Here's how we'll do it.
So it goes to the Senate now then?
It'll go to the Senate. I've got to get a sponsor over there to pick it up, but I'm sure we'll get it through the Senate too.
And then would it go into effect maybe next school year?
It'd be 1 January 2020.
Okay.
Is when the law would go into effect.
All right. I don't want to forget either. You have people can talk about a lot of different issues if I didn't ask you something. You're having a... basically kind of a forum to talk about a lot of different stuff with state government going on in later this month.
Right. I've got a town hall scheduled right now, April 17th, at the Stables. The Stables are located between Galvin and Kewaunee near Blackhawk East. And the focus on that is going to be on the progressive tax plan, fuel tax, all the different taxes, the property tax that we're just overtaxed with now. But it's going to be an informational session. It's going to be driven by the attendees, what other questions they might have, if it's on recreational marijuana, if it's on abortion issue, whatever, the guns issues. We're going to be available. I'll have a good team there that will be able to answer questions.
All right, so progressive tax right now, the voters are going to get a final say on that. If it gets out of the House and Senate, it has to be a constitutional amendment that gets to the ballot. That's what the process is right now. So it's up to the General Assembly and the governor to determine if that'll get to the ballot for the voting public to vote on, right?
Right. And the vote would be on the progressive tax change in the amendment. It would not be the tax rate.
Okay.
And, you know, that's what the governor's plan now says, 97% of the people of Illinois will see a savings. Well, that's using his tax rate. When he's shooting behind the duck, as we say in my old military days, is that, you know, he's not even projecting having a balanced budget with his progressive tax numbers. So the House and the Senate will set up what those tax rates are. And,
but right now he needs to get it out of the House, and he needs 70-some-odd votes.
He will need 71 votes. It will take a supermajority in the House to get it the question put on the ballot.
But that's the thing, though. Even if it does get to the ballot, the vote, I'll have a say on whether we adopt a progressive tax.
Right.
All right. And you can talk more about this at the forum. What time is that forum, by the way?
The forum, doors open at 6:30. We'll kick off at 7, and we'll have everyone out there by 8:30. Of course, if people want to stick around and do some sidebar conversations, we'll stay there as late as we need to.
All right, that's at the Stables again, you said?
The Stables by Blackhawk East. Tony McCombie and I are putting this together along with some other tax people, smart people.
All right. I can't remember what else I wanted to ask you now. You brought up the substitute teacher. You brought up progressive tax. There seems like I wanted to ask you about something. And I mentioned this before we went on the air. Has anybody driven roads in the state of Illinois this winter? I remember I was joking about now I don't drive. Fortunately, I live in "quote unquote Metro Aledo," so I drive the city streets. They're in pretty good shape. There's spots that are issues, but I was joking the one day I drive a lot on 74 in the area between. Well, it'd be between Knoxville and Peoria. It's like, man, it's the Walking Dead. The infrastructure has failed us, and then we see the rural roads. And I know Joy Blacktop has been highlighted a lot in our area. And I said, you know, when they talk about that fuel tax, I want to make sure I have it straight. Are they talking about if we increase this fuel tax, you finally going to fix my road in County of Mercer? And you said, no, that probably is not what it means.
Probably not what it means. It's going to be
money. And that's the disheartening part of the rural taxpayer in Illinois.
Absolutely. I drive the back roads, too. I travel all around my district regularly, and we have some roads that are in terrible shape.
But this doesn't do anything for that.
No. We've got to be able to get it down to the counties then distribute to the townships. And there's so many other, you know, the state highways take priority. Of course, Chicago, we've got to keep their roads pristine. And, we can only hope isn't a method, but I mean, I'll continue to fight to bring more money back to my district. But, we had the lockbox issue a few years ago. Well, that wasn't supposed to be, it was supposed to be just for our roads. Well, some of it went to Chicago Transportation. So,
yeah. All right. So show up to the forum if you have more questions, and you can get a hold of Jennifer Russell locally here, talk about Lyme disease, and we appreciate the time. So thank you, Representative Swanson, and thank you, Jennifer Russell.
Jennifer, do you want to put your office phone number out?
Go ahead.
Sure. So my office phone number is 582-6735.
All right. You do a great job.
Thank you very much.
Really a great job doing this. Representative Swanson, I mean, this is what constituent service is about, doing stuff like this.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here today.
All right, good to have Dan Swanson and Jennifer Russell in studio with us on WRMJ.